Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, May 16th, 2009. I think you're going to like this little ditty tonight here. And we had a great show as usual last night with Dr. Steve Barish. He's quite a guy. And Ustream, seems that all you streamers out there, and tell your friends you can watch this show on Friday night on Ustream. Anyway. We had a great conversation last night. I'm sure most of you heard it. We were talking about the systems that are being installed right now in the underground railways in New York and London and places like that, and how they destroy your mind. And that's why there's been a lot of incidents. We went into that. It's all part of the new book, Inside Track. Anyhow, here's the next part of the show coming right up. I don't want to bore you with words, but I can bore you with facts. Here we go.
Laguna Beach, California. Dr. Fred Bell is a physicist and former consulting space engineer to NASA. Is a world-renowned speaker on preventive medicine and alternative science. His great uncle invented the telephone, and his father invented the automatic transmission and alternator. Several books have been written about his work and experiences, including The Fellowship by Brad Steiger. He is the best-selling author of The Secret Promised, co-authored by Brad Steiger, and Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. For the past 30 years, Dr. Bell has researched the field of anti-aging medicine and advanced pyramid technologies. Dr. Bell is here to discuss how to live a more conscious, healthier, and happier life. Please welcome him for me.
How's everybody doing today? See, a lot of people didn't survive. We had a full house yesterday, and people are still in bed. Or they're out at church. You never know. So today we're going to talk about electrical precursing energy a little bit. And I'm going to demonstrate some of the things that we do and talk a little bit about how you can change your lives around. How many of you in here are already using some of our products that we make? Just out of
there it goes.
Okay. Anyway, yesterday we spoke about the body and how to approach certain things on the body, certain energy levels. And we talked about a little bit about biochemistry. And I mentioned how through different... How many of you, by the way, just because I know there's some of you that weren't here yesterday, how many of you...
Here.
We're here. Okay. How many were not? Oh, we got a bunch that weren't. Those of you that were not,
check the tape here. I don't know what happened. We were going there a minute ago, and it seems like it's still playing. Yeah. What happened to... We'll just wait a second. It should come back up again. This is really a good tape. I hope it isn't messed up. I hate it when I have a messed up tape.
Test 1, 2.
There it goes.
Do better.
They were having problems with the PA.
We use a lot of juice when you have a pyramid on, okay?
Yeah. Sometimes we blow the PA.
Lots of juice used. Anyway, we talked about radiation yesterday. And I explained to people how we, at the University of Michigan years ago, when I worked there in the 50s on the MJ-12 project, how we found that people that were exposed to radiation, we could negate that exposure and damage, especially because the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were our test subjects, by taking Fotai ginseng and Gota Kola, which are electrolytes. And we use a lot of that in our vitamin formulations and our mineral formulations, trace mineral formulations. And yesterday we talked about the consciousness, you know, 7 levels of consciousness, which basically are your 7 feelings that you have in your body, created by hormone release in the brain, releasing electrical fields into the body, and the metabolizing of these fields is picked up as human emotions. And the 7 levels kind of break down into like love from the heart and adrenals, cortex, producing cortisone, which is energy to get up and motivate yourself, and vasopressin in the head, which gives you positive feelings, and the willpower, which is the pineal gland, which gets you up in the morning, and sexual energy, which is another level of consciousness. All of these different things make the whole person. Unfortunately, in our environment today, there are things that go on that stop this flow of energy in our body, so we can't metabolize the proper nutrients and other substances in our atmosphere, in our environment, that produce the hormones that allow us, when secreted by vibration, to have these feelings. Okay, some people don't feel love, for example. It's not always a soul condition, but it's oftentimes a physiological condition wherein the thalamus gland cannot produce the proper hormones, and the heart doesn't get the right hormones for that actual feeling. And so it's pretty hard on people not to be able to have those kinds of feelings. In the study of the metabolism of a hormone, how it's produced, it's basically your body is 5% mineral, which causes 95% of your metabolic functions to happen. And trace minerals, of course, are what are necessary for spiritual feelings and the higher feelings, working through what is known as the parasympathetic nervous network. Unfortunately, we have eradicated off the surface of the earth all vegetables and plants and substances that produce trace minerals. So we have to go to thousands of year old sources in the ground and a substance called lanthanide and extract it and produce what we call trace minerals, which you can buy, you know, in certain stores. We manufacture our own, obviously. Trace mineral, the knowledge of it approached the medical community in our society around 1928 in the United States when a farmer down there in Utah was dying of arthritis at the ripe old age of 50. In those days, if you know anything about history, arthritis was a big killer, and if you made it to an age of 50, you were an amazing person. And so he was dying of arthritis like everybody did in those days, and he was around some Indians, Paiute Indians. So the Indians lived a lot longer than the white man. And the Indians showed this rancher, who was a retired geologist, a spring with water in it. And he put the geologist in the spring and made him swim in the water, and pretty soon he drank the water and the arthritis was completely gone. Okay, and this started trace minerals. Because the arthritis reacts as a form of virus, and when you raise the frequency of the body immune system, viruses like arthritis have no choice but to exit the body, and the body then becomes alkaline again. And so the trace mineral was found to be a red clay from a 2,000-year-old mineral source, and today we call it lanthanide. And lanthanide is found in France, it's found in Arkansas, and it's found down in Utah and a few places in the world where it was created a few thousand years ago by eroding vegetation. The trace mineral industry is a multi-billion dollar industry in the world today, one of the biggest in the health field. And of course, down in the United States with the stealing of our constitutional rights, they've tried to take this away from us for years because with trace minerals, you have psychic awareness, you have consciousness of God, and without it, you feel claustrophobic, you're paranoid, and all the kinds of feelings that take you down to the local drugstore and your local psychiatrist or psychologist for a nice prescription for all kinds of mood-altering and MOA-inhibiting drugs. So trace minerals are very important. That's what one of our oldest products we've been making at Pyridine are trace minerals. And in them, we put Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu-Kola. Moving on, we talked about enzymes yesterday. And the fact is your body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon being the pyramid-shaped molecule, which we're going to demonstrate here to a few of you. I can't get through the whole audience. And it shapes the other three gases to form all cells in the body. And if the cells in the body aren't shaped properly, you end up with diseased cells, which become antigens. And when they build up in a period of time, they become pathogens. Unfortunately, the way the governments of the world, the FDAs of the world, are set up, each country prohibits a certain amount of ingredients in a full-spectrum vitamin formula so that, therefore, you cannot receive in any one country the proper nutrients. And this is done purposely to keep consciousness starved so that you people can be controlled like sheep, as you are in most cases all over the world, by these secret, quiet little government factions that go on. So we have been manufacturing a full-spectrum vitamin formula with B15, B17, and all of the stuff that's illegal. We just don't put it on the label. I've been doing that for 20 years, and I won't stop now. And we brought them with us, a few of those vitamins. Yeah, go ahead. Question? was what? Yeah, it's being recorded, you bet. That's what that guy was here changing the battery. He didn't want to miss this one, you know. One of the better sellers is one of mine. Mine are more controversial. And audiences here usually don't go to sleep. They either A, pay attention, or B, get so bored or fed up with what I'm saying, immediately exit right, because they aren't ready to hear what we got to say, you know. So we like to keep the energy up. And I've been doing this for a long time. And I'm leaving the negative prophetic stuff out because there's plenty of it out in the world. You can see now. I think most of you, if you listened to my lectures 5 years ago, would have seen some of the catastrophes that are happening today because they were all predicted years ago. But now that they're here, you don't have to worry about them. The worst has come, and now enjoy it, you know. So we'll show you how to negate it. That's how it goes. So anyway, when you deal with the carbon atom, you're dealing with the actual geometric shape and the actual geometric shape of a structure. And if you look at the Great Pyramid in Egypt, it is shaped exactly in the same formation as the carbon atom in the body. As a matter of fact, one interesting thing about the pyramid in Egypt is that it defines in pyramid inches around its base, this part here, 25,827.5 inches around the base of the Great Pyramid. And strangely enough, that's exactly the amount of time in the precession of the equinox in years that we go around the Pleiades. So as we go around the Pleiades in that exact time, we have a period of darkness and a period of light. And during the period of darkness, new souls are created and formed from group oversouls. And during the period of light, new souls are enlightened and move on to other dimensions and other realities and other galaxies. But unfortunately, only a few people make the transition each 25,000 years. During that time period, we go through ages, which are divided into 2,250-year periods. We're coming out of the Piscean Age, where the integrity of the consciousness that was allowed to permeate individual flesh molecules was such that there was a belief in a higher deity. And so, because the souls that were here expressing themselves through the forms that they were given at the time, or the integrity of the form that they were giving at the time, knew there was some kind of a deity. So they established a belief system, and religion was established over the last 2,000 some odd years. During this time, religion became controversial because there was also the establishment of the ego. And the ego always said, my religion is better than yours. So holy wars were created, and to regulate that, we had governments. Which now, we have the next level, the Piscean Age, is going to the Aquarian Age. And in the Aquarian Age, we are starting to experience now what is the knowingness. We know that we are all potentially a God form. We all know that we are one, but we are divided individually to realize all aspects of the potential realized of being a God form. So this makes governments totally obsolete, because governments don't conform to God. They conform to greed, as you well know. Look at your taxes up here. You guys are really overtaxed. It's time for the Boston Tea Party, you know. I guess we call it the Toronto Tea Party. TTP, you know. But anyway, that's what you need up here, and a lot of other things, too. And the government, of course, will naturally go to sleep, as they did. As you know, last week, our government, the INS, allowed the Muhammad Atta and the other terrorists to have their visas now. But unfortunately, they hit the World Trade Center and aren't here to enjoy them. So if we'd issued those green cards earlier, maybe they would have changed their minds. I don't know. But it was a bad situation all the way around. And it totally exposed the validity of the ignorance of our government. So this is interesting stuff. Anyway, as the vibratory level changes now, and our cells' frequencies change, a lot of young children today, for example, out there in the convention, will probably see their 200th birthday because of things that we're doing now to increase the metabolic rate, so that the soul can now visually use the body for a real experience. You know, one of the things I've always been against is capital punishment. The reason I'm against capital punishment is that if you take a hardened criminal and execute him, you end up with a 10-year later period, a hardened child, a child that has recently incarnated as being a criminal. And this is one of the reasons why we had so many schoolyard shootings down in the United States. As a matter of fact, the one in Arkansas, Mitchell and Andrew, both those kids, one of them, Mitchell, was shooting and killing people at 13 years old. At 11, he was in Wisconsin, the state he lived in before Arkansas. He was up for rape charges. So obviously he was a serial killer rapist in a past life not too long ago. The other thing about the incarnation right now is that where was everybody 300 or 400 years ago? We got these billions and billions of people on the earth today, but where were they 300 or 400 years ago? Anybody ever wonder about that? You know, the soul's immortal, right? We're coming and going.
Well, what happened was the position of our planet in the equinox going around the Pleiades was such that there was still a lack of what I call compression. So therefore, souls were given a little latitude to sort out what they had done right or wrong, or harmonious and disharmonious, between incarnations. So the feeling when you incarnated was a little bit being a little bit more relaxed. So we had a little bit more of a relaxed society. Although we did have a criminal element, it was much more relaxed. And even the criminals in those days had a sense of humor. Today, well, Jesse James, for example, he was considered a very funny man, you know. But today, because the soul bank is emptying out so fast, you don't have this 100 or 200 or 300 year rest. You immediately reincarnate. And it sort of talks about it in the Bible. This is happening if you're studying the Bible. All Bibles and Vedas and Qurans talk about this. But basically, when you start to realize what it's talking about, it says we have a thing called the Great White Throne Judgment Day, wherein we stand in judgment of our actions and stand accountable. And so, therefore, you can't escape into death anymore, or out-of-body experience, or the astral plane, wherever you prefer to call it. So, with this idea in mind, it becomes very much more important to start focusing on the psychic and the paranormal frequencies that exist in our day and time. In other words, in a 24-hour time period, you could gauge yourself with the fact that energy follows thought. If energy follows thought, are your thoughts and energy in a positive, uplifting space in a 24-hour time period, or are your thoughts and actions in a negative space? Are you out there breathing lots of carbon monoxide every day with automobile exhaust, or are you taking some time to ionize your atmosphere or go out in the country and get away from it? Are you eating all kinds of fast foods and free radical-bearing foods with preservatives and junk in them? Are you eating some actual, real, healthy, holistic, you know, organic-type food? Are you taking the time to excrete the poisons in your body by at least 10 or 15 minutes of exercise every day? Or are you saying that walking around and doing the daily things that we do is enough exercise? Are you taking enough time to stop and get away from your family, your loved ones, your dearest children, your pets, and spending 10 or 15 times with your own mind in a quiet atmosphere to find out who you are? Or are you constantly bombarded all day long by the stress and the turmoil of a normal environment? So these are factors that have to do with your environment. And a lot of you, how many of you believe in flying saucers and extraterrestrials, for example? Okay. A good two-thirds. Now, how many of you actually seen them up close and personal? Okay. How many of you think you've seen them at some kind of a distance? Okay. Smaller amount. Okay. What happens is, typically with extraterrestrials, good or bad, for example, their electrical precursing energy, their time frequencies, their 24-hour time periods when they're visiting us, and their time periods in their own solar systems and their own planetary systems, are geared to such a way that they are more in tune with the environment itself. The Pleiadians, of which I was a contactee of for many years, defined the Greys, which are the ones that are written about as kind of being the bad guys doing a lot of abductions. The Pleiadians called the Greys bugs that had evolved over a billion years. They reached a high degree of intellect. They have a chlorophyll system like a plant, yet they don't seem to have a soul. They live in hive consciousness. So they, therefore, abduct people to try to steal the energies of individual souls. But the fact is, even though they're kind of like the bad guys, they're still a lot smarter than most humans because they have the spaceships and they're evasive. They can get a hold of you, but you can't get a hold of them. Okay? It's, we'll call on you. Don't bother us. You won't reach us. Therefore, they have you sort of boxed in. So what you have to do is you have to change the electrical precursing energies of your body and sort of become like a fish, like a dolphin. For example, a dolphin can hear 5 or 6 times above the human range. A dolphin can visually see beyond the normal eyesight frequencies of the bands of normal, what we call visual reflective light. Dolphins can do that. Whales can do that. They have a language that's very similar to that of the grays, those sounds they make. So you start to, you say to yourself, well, what does that do for me? Well, what that does for you is allows you to reach a frequency, if you can do like the fish do, and see these other beings that operate on higher frequencies than we normally do. I mean, many times I've been out with a group, and maybe we're out doing a little meditation, and there happens to be a spaceship show up at a fairly close range. Some people in the group can't see it at all, and others see it very vividly. Same thing happens to me a couple of times when we went out to the ocean. We met with beings like Neptune, who is in charge of the oceans out there. He's a being. He's a physical being. He's quite large. You know, if you see these WWF wrestlers, how big they are, multiply them times 50, and that's the size of Neptune. Neptune would make a hell of a WWF player, you know. Fact is, a lot of people can't see him. And I did write about him in my book, Rays of Truth, and the experiences that we had in the ocean, because the ocean is very important. One of the things that the Pleiadians taught me, even though I wrote about propulsion systems and advanced nutritional systems, one of the things the Pleiadians taught me was something that they spend 60% of their life with. 60% of a Pleiadian's life, and by the way, they live to be 1,500 years or more older, and they look human, they're humanoid. We could do the same. 60% of their life is studying nature, because they say studying nature is being next to God. With all of the technology that we possess on this planet today, we still can't grow one blade of grass. Can't do it. You know, we can analyze it, can't do it. So this is the kind of thing that we need to start looking at. So what we need to do is start doing things to our bodies and our environment that makes our eyes see a little bit beyond, you know, more than even the shadows out of the side that you might, when you start to develop the vision. Develop your ears so your synapses in the brain can make those eardrums work at a lot higher frequency. And the science of the way to get to this, there's only one way to get to it, and that's to change the electrical precursing energy, the EPCs of the body. The energy, when you change the electrical precursing energies of the body, you get in touch with a very strong psychic component that's very physical and very real and very time manipulating. And that's called a scalar wave. How many of you in here have ever heard of a scalar wave? Okay. In our work at Paradigm, we have A, developed component technologies like the pyramids and the receptors, and B, we have developed systems technologies where we use huge machines, not real big machines, but machines that create scalar waves. When you run a scalar wave generator, or a series of them, we'll run maybe 8 or 10 of them at a time, over a period of time, you start taking the chi forces of the body. The chi forces of the body begin to compress into what are called virtual fields, and we start to create virtual field technology. When you get into virtual field technology, you're able to actually take the picture, the energy of a photograph, and make that animated. In other words, you could actually put a photograph up, animate it, and step into the photograph. That's virtual field technology. It's a science of how spaceships are able to instantaneously move from point A to point B, light years in seconds. It's a technology that's available on Earth. It's a technology that I worked with 3,000 companies when I was younger, in the infancy that they were developing. And it's a technology that created projects like Star Wars and these STS photographs that you're seeing now from NASA of ships jumping around in space and beams chasing them, of stuff that we have put up there and weaponry that we put up there. It's a technology that's been suppressed from you because you're too busy out here dodging bullets from all of these pollutants and toxins that are out there. And so it's a technology that you need to have in your hands. And it is possible to learn about it. I've written this book on it. I'm now going to be writing for Robbie out here in the X-Zone newspaper. They opened a column up, and we're going to start presenting this to the Canadian citizens so you can begin to understand it. The first thing I need to do is demonstrate how powerful an electrical precursing field is. Now, some of you saw part of this demonstration yesterday. Some of you didn't. Okay? So the first thing I want is I need one volunteer to come up here to the front. One person. I need to do for muscle test. You can come. She's already. Are you coming? Okay, both of you come. We'll do two people this time. Why not? Now I have to get naked, okay? Yeah. Well, I'm naked now. That's me naked, see? No EPC devices. You had one on too? Yeah, you need to take that off. You'd be cheating. Okay. Actually, I'm glad we have a male and a female up here, because we can demonstrate the scalar waves too. Okay, what's your name? Lindsay, and what's your name?
Joel.
Okay, come over here. I want you to stand together here. You stand there, and you stand over here. Okay? Okay, now, put your right arm out so I can demonstrate the strength that you have. Okay, resist. Okay, feel your strength. Resist. Okay. Now what we do is we do a very simple thing. We've got several types of glue here. Everybody likes glue. Okay. Okay, yeah, hold that up. Take a whiff. Put your arm out. Okay, now make a fist. Now keep breathing. Keep breathing. Resist. Okay, not too much strength. Okay, now anybody want to sniff this, see if it's legitimate? Okay. Here's a glue sniffer. Wow. Is that good? Good stuff, huh? This is Oregon skunk right here. What do they call this? It's a Canadian skunk with some word for it up. This is it right here. This is the real thing. Okay, you try it now. Put your arm up. Okay, resist. Well, nothing. Well, you like that glue too, don't you? Jeez. Okay, now we put this on you. That's yours. Put this one in mine. See, because you don't have one yet. Okay. All right, now what we do is we put the glue. Now, this is electrical precursing energy at its worst. It doesn't take 24 hours of this to knock you out. It takes about, I'd give anybody $100 American if you'll breathe this like that for 10 minutes. Anybody want to take me up on it? 10 minutes. Oh, he wants a free receptor here, huh? Okay, put your arm out. Okay, now resist. Oh, that's a little different. Okay, now he likes the glue. Okay, resist. Much different. You feel a difference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he likes the glue now. So. Glue goes good with EPC. Okay, now let's take that off now. Glue yours on. Okay, now, next thing we're going to do is on this receptor are these pyramids, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I want to let you guys do it too. I want you to rub your hands together and take a deep breath and rub your hands together. Okay? That's a chi force. Now, this is what becomes a virtual field if you compress this a billion times. Now, pull the energy up and open your hands. Feel that pulsing? Feel that? All right. That's what we're dealing with here. That's your chi force in your body. You kill that, your life force goes, immune system's down, you're dead. Okay? If you can't do that, you're dead. If you don't feel it, you've got organ problems. You need some tuna. All right? So now, I'm going to show you something. Now, you guys rub your hands together. When I pull the pyramid over your head, over your hands, see if you can feel an increase of the energy. Now, open your hands up. Now open them up flat. Turn them up flat like this. Now, see if you feel a difference in the chi force. Feel it? Versus not. Open your hands up. Okay? He feels it. Okay. Now, relax again. Now what I'm going to do is put the pyramid on her head with a receptor. Now put your arm straight out like you did before. Make a fist. Same position. Look. The reason I have the hand go upside down, that's latissimus dorsi. That's an equal test every time on the meridian. The resist. Okay. Now I'm going to do this on you. Same thing. Put your hand out. Resist. Okay. Your strength is good. Okay. Now all I'm going to do is invert the pyramid. Put your iron hand out. Resist. Whoops. Try you. Okay, put your hand out. Excuse me. Okay, up, over. Resist. That's okay. Different thing, huh? Okay. Your turn. Okay, you guys can sit down now. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just do a couple people in the audience here. I can't do the whole audience. I want you to rub your hands together again, a few of you, and hold them up. And I'll come around and I'll put the pyramid over your hands, see if you can feel the difference. Okay, that's good. Now, some of you it'll feel a lot more than others. Depends on the person. Yeah. People think it's funny when you wear one of these. It is, because it gives you a sense of humor. Toxins go away, you know. I'll walk around the audience here a little bit. Now, in our structures, if you look at our book, you'll see devices with pyramids right side up, pyramids upside down. If you were to draw an imaginary line where this is ending up, that field is a null zone to the energy. Now, when a person tests weak with the upside down pyramid, it's because the female aspect of the chi force in that person is short-circuited. And the feminine energy on this planet has been so low for so long that it's very common in male and female. That's why I had a male and female both up there on the stage on the front. It's common for that energy to be short-circuited, the female energy, the yin energy, as it's called, in the people. Now, when it's short-circuited, one of the first things that happens in people that have a low immune system that are subjected to radiation or preservatives is they come down with cancer. Okay, if you switch that field where that yin, where you check strong, I do that to your head and you're testing strong, then you know you'll never get cancer because your body is very alkaline now. Okay, so this is just some of the simple stuff. Now, when your body is balanced and you can handle the pyramid upside down or right side up, and it longer stresses you when it's upside down, then you can start working in what we call the superphysical world, wherein you can experience these things that are slightly beyond the sound in the body and slightly beyond the visual effects of the body. Because we have, as we say, five senses, but we're not able to experience them. Okay. In sound technology, we've done a lot. Now, some of you have come by our booth out there and seen some of those tapes. Some people ask me about our music that we do. Well, the music we do started out in Switzerland several years ago when we used 16 tape recorders to record a Pleiadian ship, okay, a spaceship. And we recorded the sound. And in the sound, we observed a timbre. And the timbre, if you were a musician and wondering what timbre means, or you're not a musician, the timbre is where a piano plays the middle note C and a violin plays the middle note C. But the fact is, when you, these two instruments are played, they sound apart. They don't sound like they're the same instrument. Okay, that's timbre. Now, there are certain types of instruments that produce resonant timbres to the human DNA. Not the notes, but the actual sound of the instrument themselves. Okay, and these instruments were brought here, the original ones, from the Pleiades 28,000 years ago. One of the best natural timber consciousness-raising machines and sound here on Earth today is called a sitar. How many of you know what a sitar is? Okay. How many of you listen to a sitar? How many of you feel your a serious mood elevation raise in the sitar sound? Okay. The application of the sitar is called a raga. And usually a trained master becomes a sitar player. Because the sitar is a lot harder to play as a string instrument than, say, a guitar. It's like playing about six guitars at once, actually. It's very, very in-depth. Now, what is sound pollution? Okay, you remember in probably all of your biblical and metaphysical studies, the universe is created from what? Does anybody know? Sound. Right, sound. And what happens is, I don't think when God was creating, turn your hands up like that. When God was creating a sound, he was listening to a jackhammer on the corner, or an ambulance was going by. I don't think that those kind of sounds were available in those days. As a matter of fact, when the sound of Aum is being heard continuously, people don't have accidents, and so therefore they don't need ambulances. Because accidents are only temporary lapses in consciousness, you know, between two individuals typically, and sometimes an individual in the environment, wherein the person's lack of consciousness became unconscious of the environment that he's in. That creates an accident. So sound pollution in our life extension studies is paramount to a huge amount of aging process. As a matter of fact, you know, high on the list are atmospheric poisoning, you know, pollution from the atmosphere, radiation poisoning, and sound poisoning. They're almost equal in all aspects. That's why in certain types of music, when you listen to it, you get violent. You know, kids get very violent and go out and kill people when they hear certain kinds of music. Other kinds of music become very healing. You go down to these massage tables and you feel the masseuse, and there's some nice sounds going in the background. The massage becomes a lot more therapeutic than it would be without the sound. Even the sound of silence sometimes is not as warm as the sound of a properly tuned instrument. So what we did during the time of tenure with the Pleiadians, we got in touch with the seven different frequencies of sound, and their sub-frequencies called semitones, and we created sound tapes that we use today with our systems. In my book, Rays of Truth, up there, which is up there, that's one I was showing you, that's available in the bookstore now because we're almost sold out in the booth, I explain the sounds and the timbres, and at our booth you can buy these sounds. Now, what we have done since then is I have probably one of the most advanced recording studios in the world, in a house. You wouldn't want to know how much I spent on that studio, but it had to be there because we create sound for different people, for different situations. When you get into our systems technology, we have entire scalar wave systems, we create individual sounds. We also create CDs and tapes for you to listen to in the forms of rock operas and meditation and easy listening music. So we are doing and have been doing sound at Paradigm for many, many years. And strangely enough, in the sound work, about half the musicians you could name have participated in some way or other in some of my work. It's amazing how instrument and very famous musicians like to get into this stuff. How many of you remember the old Yes Band? Remember them? You know, John Anderson used our sounds for years. And he wrote a song about me on one of his albums called Brother of Mine. How many remember the Moody Blues? They used a lot of our sounds. How many of you have heard of a band called U2? They recorded the Shake, Rattle, and Hum album in one of our systems using our sounds. And so just a little bit. How many have heard of Elton John? You know, those are the kinds of people that have gotten involved in our sound work, just so you understand. Just about everybody. And the producer of all of these people in their studios, they also have these types of sound systems, pyramid systems, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyhow, everybody feeling this? Yeah. Try to get around. Yeah, go ahead.
How do you evaluate something for the type of sound that's required to...
Well, by the time that... The question was, how do I evaluate somebody? By the time that... Thank you. By the time we evaluate you for sound, if you're really going to get into some individual stuff, you'll already have one of our working systems, okay? And what we do is we start out component-wise. When you get into the receptor technology, you're muscle-tested for the frequency of the hydrogen. And the hydrogen atom has seven colors and seven sounds that act as doorways to gate through to your consciousness, to your physical body, consciousness itself. When you enhance the hydrogen atom, you enhance your sound ability, your interpretation. When you enhance the hydrogen atom, you enhance your vision. Just the human growth hormone, HGH alone, will improve the average vision we're finding now of a person. In 1 year, 15 to 16%. So now in 2 years, you're going to have a 30% improvement in vision. This is just a hormone we're putting into our body in a spray form, let alone this other stuff. So now when you start adding the other stuff, it's phenomenal the results you get, because it's like a huge surge of the anti-aging thing all at once. It's not just one thing or another thing. And the way I work with some of the greatest anti-aging, you know, doctors on this planet, I work with people all over the world, just about every country, that are at the top of it. And I have found that their programs, each one of them has a great idea. But one great idea and one person that's getting 99% bombardment all day long with a 20% or a 10% great idea, that's not enough to overcome the deluge of negative energy. So you need to integrate all of these programs, okay? And so what we do with our systems technology, we have a device, for example, and I have never brought into the show because it's a big hassle to bring stuff up. If you want to see what I'm talking about, you could write our website down. Okay, it's fredbell.net, fredbell.net. And that takes you to Paradigm. But it's easy to remember, fredbell.net. That takes you to our website. One of the first things you're going to see there is a device called a star orb. Okay, a star orb looks like a pyramid here and a pyramid there, kind of like a star. It's a little device about that size. It costs under $200. Not very expensive. If you take that little star orb, connect it to your ceiling, and connect a wire to the third wire in your plug, connect a second wire to a ground wire outside your house, or if you're in an apartment, to a water pipe to ground out the ELF, and took the third wire to your refrigerator, okay, what will happen is it will get rid of the ELF in that environment of the house. It'll take it out of the power lines. It'll take it out of the air. It'll take it out of your refrigerator. The most amazing thing when you take it out of your refrigerator, and just anywhere in the refrigerator, is you put salad in there, it stays 2 weeks. You put food in there, it lasts 3 to 4 times longer than normal. And rarely, after if you have a dirty refrigerator, clean it out first with chlorine or some bleach, and then hook the star orb up to it, because you don't want to introduce any more stuff, keep it clean. It will maintain that sterility forever. and you'll find that you won't see stuff growing on your cheese anymore. It's amazing what happens to a refrigerator with just that one item. Okay, and that one item then transmits a pulse all over the immediate area of the room, which heals the body. You might have a clock, a television set. It gets rid of that radiation. That's one simple thing that we've been making for 20 years. Now, how did the Star Orb come about? It's a real interesting story. When I was working with the National Health Federation in the U.S., I spent 18 years going to every major city starting back in 1974. Now, as some of you remember yesterday, the National Health Federation is the one that got vitamins made legal and health choices made legal in the United States so that the doctors didn't write prescriptions for synthetic vitamins, et cetera, et cetera. We were the ones that did that. We had two people in Congress. So we were a pretty substantial body of people composed of some of the best doctors in the world that I've ever worked with. Doctors like Ernest Krebs, people like that, who discovered B15. John Christopher, the father of herbs in this hemisphere. Those kinds of people. These are the people that I studied with. I was a young guy then, and they were the older guys, and I was their student, and I'm always a student. But one of the interesting things that happened with ELF was that in our audience, we had a lot of people in their 70s, 80s, and sometimes 90s, even in 100 sometimes. We had some what I call seniors, and super seniors in our audience. And I would go from one city to another city, and I would have some little lady come up or some little man come up, and they'd say, "Dr. Bell, I have a question for you," because I was always wearing a pyramid since the early 70s, and they knew I was into energy. And they'd say, "Dr. Bell, I have a question for you." I'd say, "What's that?" And they'd say, "Well, there's this gray van that was sitting out in front of my apartment house. And there was something going on in that gray van. There was a little antenna on the top of it. And then pretty soon, the people in that gray van moved next door to me. And I started feeling sick and weird all the time." Well, I the first time you hear that, well, that's senility, that's super seniority, a senior moment, paranoia. How you could define that? But what happened was, when I would go from city to city, hearing the same thing from elderly people that had never met themselves, that were not aware of what was said or spoken by the people in the previous cities, and after a few hundred of these people in the 70s, I realized there really was government experimentation with ELF on an individual level to see how they could, what frequencies would screw people up. Okay? So then, we had created by then the Star Orb, which, by the way, our products are more copied by more companies all over the world. I had to patent the receptor because I got tired of seeing all these pendants that people wore that don't do anything, copied from our original designs. We hung the Star Orbs up in all of these people's homes, and the vibrations started to go away. But what was happening was, there was at that time a mass data collection going on, which was later on fed into HAARP, okay? High frequency oral, which is now beamed all over the world. So this was the data gathering, phase of what was going on. Now, previous to 1974, when I was working, I had my own electronics company. Right after I left NASA, my job was in instrumentation. I was a senior instrumentation engineer / scientist, researcher. That meant that if you had a laboratory in East Fishkill, New York, and you were an IBM plant, and you were working with a SQUID technology, which was a form of time travel tunnel diode device, you needed to measure the instruments. If you were a Bell Telephone down at Murray Hill and you were working on satellite communications, you had to have instruments. If you were Hughes out in L.A. or TRW and you were working with satellite and lunar communication, you had to have instruments. If you were Ogden Technology and you were doing environmental tests to see what it's like to duplicate the atmosphere of the moon, you needed tests. If you were the Lockheed Skunk Works and you were testing airplanes, and you, what wind tunnel pressure does the wings break off? You had to have a transducer. It was an instrument. So here is the man that instrumented the entire United States for a period of about 10 or 15 years on every conceivable project that you can imagine. I was there putting instruments. Okay, I was in the electronics industry, very, very popular. Everybody knew my name. Okay, as a matter of fact, how many of you know Stephen Greer? Heard of him? Disclosure Project. Better check him out. Get the book, the Disclosure Project book from Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer. because you'll find a chapter, you'll find me in there with some current NASA rocket scientists, with current Air Force generals that are in place, working as you speak. And you'll also see the chapter on Dr. B talking about a lot of this stuff. And in the research, working with all these companies, if I'm doing the instrumentation, even though I had a secret clearance at the time, obviously I knew I could go from one company, because at times, before the pyramid, obviously, these things that were being put together. And having worked on, you know, on the early MK Ultra experiences back in the 50s, me, you know, at the University of Michigan, I knew already. I was at Langley many times with the CIA. I used to work all the time at Quantico with the FBI. I was in their criminal lab all the time, instrumenting stuff. One of my friends, Norm Hayes, just made the PCR testing for DNA from 6 weeks to 3 minutes, and he can do 120 samples at once. That's current. I'm still doing some of this stuff. So I began to see the potential for the government to do all kinds of things to the populace. And I could see it coming even in those days. This is back in the 60s when this happened. So the science of electrical precursation in those days didn't have a name, but I could see now how now it definitely has a name, and it has a useful, you know, application in our lives. We developed a thing, another device in our product line. It's called an ion shower. How many of you, when you get up in the morning, you're creative, you might be writing, you might be writing a letter, a book, you might be a musician, you might be an engineer getting design ideas going. You get a really good roll going on in the morning when you get out of bed. Then you decide you need to go to the gas station to get gas for your car, or maybe back to the post office or the store. You're out, you're not gone more than 20 minutes. You come back to your environment, whether it was your office or your home, and you try to get back into the creative process, and it's gone bye-bye. How many of you ever had that experience? Okay? That's carbon monoxide poisoning. Carbon monoxide poisoning, the first thing it hits is the creative parts of the body, the synapses and the parts of the parasympathetic nervous system that allow creativity to move through. And it lasts 24 hours. So the best thing you can do is go about your non-creative, mundane things the rest of the day, get your 6 to 8 hours of sleep at night, which will detox most of the monoxide out of your body, and take a shot at it the following day. Well, we developed a device called the ion shower, wherein we used a 100,000-volt generator and a pulse Tesla network in an antenna array that you go out and you get carbon monoxide poisoning. You come back in your house, you have this thing hanging in your vestibule or the entryway. You flip a switch, you get hit with this huge amount of energy that's very creative. Your hair might stand on end for a minute or two. And 3 minutes later, that creative ability comes back with a flare. Okay, now you've got that in effect is an electrical precursing device that gave you 24 hours of freedom in less than 3 minutes. So we have gone to great, great lengths to develop all kinds of environmental systems. And so to answer this lady's question back here about how would I create a sound system for that individual, I would see what kind of an individual you were, and I would see what your environment needs to be, and then I would create the sound. Okay, that's how we do it. We do it a step at a time. We just don't ad lib it. In our music and other things that we do, we're constantly creating a multiple series of sounds that allow us to get a generalization of the overall mean problems of the world, but we don't do everybody individually in that type of application. We do in systems applications. The other thing I might say that in our vitamin formulas, if you go out there to our booth, you'll see them. There's 233 ingredients listed on our vitamins, and two of the main ingredients you're going to see in the amino acids, lysine and arginine. Lysine and arginine produce vasopressin along with B3, which we use, which gives you the creative vasopressin hormone in the body. The antagonist of that creation is automobile exhaust or carbon monoxide poisoning. One thing I want to cover real briefly here, because I got a lot of, this is kind of like off the track a little. How many of you, because you've been quizzing me a lot, want to know about contrails? Have anybody in here want to know about those? Okay, let me explain how that technology, because I was working with General Electric in the engine division in Schenectady, New York, and a few other companies years ago with engines and fuel pumps and delivery systems for jets at high altitude. And here's what happened. We noticed a long time ago, and I also worked with the government, our government, on the Global 2000 report, which is pretty hard to get. But in the Global 2000 report, which was put together by 19 federal agencies with our government down there and 44 different countries, including yours up here, back in the Carter administration, administered during the Reagan administration, and all copies sold by me pretty much through government office printing bookstores in the States. What we stated in there was the depletion of the ozone layer was not from refrigerants, but from high-flying jet aircraft. I mean, duh, that's not a real big deal to say that, but it's true, and it was published by our government. That's where the problem was. Well, in the process of creating a destruction of the ozone layer, we started to create a large incidence of X-ray and other types of radiation coming down to this planet, okay, which in your case destroys your immune systems, okay, and therefore you become susceptible to radiation, and oh, we got mammary, we got prostate cancer, blah, 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 and all of these things, okay. Well, it affects other things too. Believe it or not, at this time it was JP2 or JP3 jet fuel, was a carbon form of an organic substance, even though we call it kerosene, okay? But kerosene is also susceptible to the radiation. And what was happening with the kerosene, which they used to run jet engines, was that in total darkness, okay, kerosene started to grow certain kinds of algae and molds, okay? These algae and molds would then dislodge themselves in a jet fuel tank and go down into the pipes and jam up the fuel pumps, causing a flame out in the engine. We really noticed it in the military jets more so than the commercial airliners. As we got up to JP8 or JP9, these things in the fuel changed. But the interesting thing about this algae and mold that grew in these fuel tanks of these jet planes was that it liked to grow at 40 or 50 degrees below zero, because that's how cold it is at those altitudes that they fly, and there's no heating in the wings. So what we began to do is we began to put additives into the kerosene, and therefore we began to change the J numbers, JP8, JP7, and as we put more additives into the fuels, we began to have to use more corrosive additives. Well, you know, it's like in California, we have this additive down there called MTBE. Okay, you drive up into California and in the gasoline it says 91 octane. It used to be 92. They told us in California when they lowered it from 92 to 91, they were taking out the MTBE. But the fact is they didn't take it out. They just lowered the octane. It was another lie. Okay, it was in all the news they were going to do this in California and the U.S., but they didn't take it out. It's still on the pumps. What does MTBE do? MTBE goes into your water table with a shelf life of 2,000 or 3,000 years, and is a highly, highly, highly carcinogenic substance. Okay? Now, MTBE in automobile gas is a far cry from the carcinogenic substances that has to eat up bacteria and fungus that forms at 60,000 or 80,000 or 40,000 feet. And as more jets flew across the sky, more toxic things started to grow because more and more light rays get in to create their growth. So more and more stuff goes into the jet fuel. And now you are getting what we call side effects from these things. And there's the atmosphere, because of the greenhouse effect, the carbon dioxide level has gone so much up, the oxygen has gone so much down, that these things become illuminated as they're sprayed across your friendly skies. And they stay particleized all the way down into your wonderful little lungs, going through your great noses, okay? And that is a story of contrails. They're not going to go away because you're dealing with air transportation, big business, and big business could care less about you. They could care less. Yes? Well, here's the deal with aluminum chloride. That's what you're talking about. And aluminum perchlorate, which we use in rocket fuel. When you raise up the old arm and hit the right guard, the old arm is up because of odor, right? That's fungus, bacteria. And what has the right guard got in it? The same thing, aluminum chloride. Okay? It's used as a disinfectant antiseptic in a hostile environment, the hostile environment being kerosene. Okay? Aluminum is a biamphoteric material that destroys the ability of free radical conditions in fungals. In other words, it can't reproduce. And free radicals are out of control situations if you want to get into chemistry. Okay. Now we're getting into the question and answer period. I'm trying to really hit some deep subjects in here so that you guys can really get something out of my trip up here, because I don't do these shows anymore. I only do this one show because I like you guys. I used to do one or two a month. I do one a year, because only here in Canada. Thank you. Yes. What is that? I beg your pardon, I couldn't hear you. The minerals. Okay. The minerals. We use, he wants to know what minerals we use in our food supplements. Okay, very important question. Okay, the body has three nervous systems. First is the autonomic. Okay, very important. Autonomic, that's responsible for subconscious body functions, heartbeat, you know, breathing aspects, those kinds of things. Okay, so for those we need iron, manganese, those kinds of minerals, magnesium. And so what we do is we use an organically grown mineral, okay, and then it's chelated in a protein so your body can assimilate it. If you get oyster shells or these cheap minerals at the health food stores, you're just clogging up your arteries. Okay, you need to have chelated minerals. Okay. Secondly, when we go to trace minerals, which is the parasympathetic nervous system, we use leonardite in an organic form. It's brought out of the ground in this 2,000-year-old, not 10,000, but 2,000-year-old vegetation is in a red clay form, and we use a deionized water to extract the natural organic without destroying it. Wave. If you use an ionized water, it would destroy the organic part. So we use a deionized water to an extraction process, creates quite a bit of heat, believe it or not, and then that goes into our trace minerals. Okay? Another question. Yeah. Used to be. Okay, used to be. But realize this. She wants to know, is there any value in the sea minerals? First of all, radiation, boom, seawater, okay? 65% of our atmosphere used to be created by an algae that was peculiar from the surface of the ocean to 60 or 70 feet below. Today, because of nuclear spillage and aging submarines, all kinds of fuel spills, radiation or bombardment of radiation itself from expended atomic weapons, the seawater is now radioactive. And as a result of that, lots of fish are dying every year. Now, people will say, okay, old salt, like the Salt Lake City, salt, you know, they say salt from the sea dried out looks like hemoglobin. Looks very much like in the red blood cell, hemoglobin. But dead. Yes, it does look like it, you know. And so would hemoglobin look like salt if it were a million years old and dried out? Doesn't have any life force in it. You know, like people sometimes say, because I eat a lot of salads. Well, there aren't a lot of, vitamins in those salads. I say, yeah, but the life force is there. You can get the vitamins by adding the carrots and the beets and the celery and the other stuff, but even the salad itself's got the life force, the chi force, what we were playing with, okay? So the red clay has the life force in a frequency that the hydrogen atom identifies with, and it's pretty awesome stuff, okay? But you have to know where to get your trace mineral from, because once again, and I've been to health conventions. I don't even go to those anymore. If you ever go to a manufacturer's health show, go, because you'll see more greed there than even in the oil people. They're fighting over this, get this sold, fighting over to get this sold, and 99% of the stuff is junk. There's probably about 5% of all the companies out there selling healthcare products are completely awesome. And there's probably 5% of their, and then the other 90% in my book is, okay? And you just have to have a sensitive enough body. And when you learn, if you don't get into a multi-nutrition like we do, those kind of formulas where everything is in it, and if you're one of these people that does one thing at a time, make sure you feel something from the one thing that you do. Because if you don't feel something each time you add something new to your, you know, your overall sphere of what you're doing, you're getting no benefit from it. You know, the best thing in the world is a good feeling. And remember, energy follows thought. Okay? And don't think about it, feel it. If you think about it, it's an old Tibetan axiom, the mind is the slayer of the real. So don't think about it, feel it. If you don't feel it, it ain't working. Okay? It's real simple. I'm from Missouri, show me a feeling. Okay? Another question. Yeah. The pendant creates a scalar wave in the body, which shifts my DNA frequency over a 24-hour time period of exposure to negative energy. Did you see me demonstrate it with the glue? Okay. Imagine the air that you're breathing right now to be just like this glue, but the glue is in a bigger bag. And the tube is over there in the corner and you're out here breathing it. So what it does, it negates negative effects in the body. And also the pyramid. People often ask me about the
Well, we ran out of time on that one, so let's just maybe continue this next week. Thank you.